There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Himmel, thanks so much indeed to you for your text message saying I'm one of those people who addresses everyone with either a sir or a ma'am. When I was in grade 6, every kid had to manage traffic at the intersection near our school as a community service. The intersection was probably the best one to drive by because they had the cutest people managing the traffic. We were given strict instructions, address men as sir and women as ma'am. I guess that kind of carried on. So now I call every woman ma'am and every man sir, whether it's the lady at the coffee place or someone I'm asking directly. From I'm not really trying to imply anything, I'm just being polite. If you don't like being called sir or ma'am, just smile and say please call me your name, but please don't be antagonistic towards someone who's just trying to be polite. Much appreciated on that one. George Tolley's working through some of your other text messages as well.
I've got one here from James, who is in Business Bay. He says, I hate being called sir, it makes me feel a completely different generation. They should just be saying hi and then asking my name.
This one's come through from one of our listeners out there who wishes to remain anonymous, completely respect that one, says, as a teenage girl, I'm only ever called mom when I'm over in India by storekeepers, waiters, rickshaw drivers and so on. It just feels wrong to me. The men and women who call me mom are always older than me, so why should they show me such respect and formality? Whenever I am called mom, it is because people assume that someone of my class deserves respect from those serving me, regardless of age. I believe in the dignity of all work. I respect those in service jobs. They work harder than I ever have. I haven't done anything to disturb respect, so calling me mum is completely unnecessary. Thanks for that.
Michelle in Jumeirah says, I don't care what anyone calls me. I like what my former husband says, since our name is always mispronounced. I'll answer to anything but idiot. There are so many other things in this world to worry about.
We're talking formality. Why are we talking formality? We spoke to Adil de Groot a little earlier on, Executive Assistant Manager at the Radisson Blue Hotel Dubai Waterfront down in Business Bay. They've banned formal address terms until mid-July. Anyone caught saying sir or ma'am, it's going to be fined 25 dirhams on the spot. A campaign to create a more friendly atmosphere. Hotel management said the informal and casual approach will put customers at ease and make communications more engaging and meaningful. So how does it work for you? Is there a place in your life for formalities, or is it something that you could do without? Let's get down to the green community now. Let's catch up with Hillary, who joins us live on the line. Morning, Hillary.
Morning. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts. Are you a mom?
No. I'm not a big fan of that at all. I do understand, you know, people do that and they've been brought up to say that to people as a matter of respect. But I personally, I don't feel that comfortable with it. And it's funny, I do quite a lot of work in and out of the school where my children go. And so they all know me all the teachers and people around call me Mrs. Shack. Mm. And I personally don't like it. I would rather they just call me Hillary. And as many times as I've said that, it doesn't seem to change anything, but I don't know if that's to do with the situation, you know, where all the teachers call themselves Mr. and Mrs. this and that. Well, I struggle with it big time.
It's interesting. So will you stop people from saying it? If people are, will you put them sort of straight and say, no, do call me Hillary?
Oh, I do. I would say that, yeah, but often people don't, or they feel like they should just keep saying Mrs. whatever.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, I was thinking, it's funny in different situations, though, because my son, I've got two boys and a girl, but the oldest one is 12. And recently, I heard him say something. He was asking a lifeguard something at a pool. And I was really chuffed when I heard him say, sir, could I just do this? And I thought it was great. But it was funny in different circumstances. But I really liked that somebody of his age would stop and say like that in a really nice way. I've never heard him say it before, and I don't know if it's because in high school they start calling the teacher sir, and I don't know what they call them, actually.
Mm.
What about what you encourage your children to call the parents of their friends? Because I remember when I was growing up, I was always told to call everyone, you know, Mrs. Gadsby or whatever their name was. And now it just doesn't seem, that does seem really old-fashioned now, although I sort of agree.
Yeah, I don't do it actually at all. It's funny, I was thinking about that too, listening to the whole thing, because we used to call all our uncles and aunties Auntie Somebody and Uncle Somebody, but I never do that now. Like, my children, they have three kind of aunts and uncles, and they just know them by their first names. And in fact, it's quite funny when you think, they get to a certain age and they're not entirely sure what an aunt or uncle is because we've never really talked about it.
I still say so.
Informally.
So I got godparents, and I still call one of my godmothers, Godmother Jo. And you know, I'm nearly 40 now, and literally, I can't say her name. I can't say Jo. It's weird. And in fact,
I'm like that with my uncle. I would always say Uncle Richard, but I wouldn't be saying to my children to call my brother Uncle David. He would just be David.
Hilary, lovely to get your thoughts this morning. Really appreciate them. Thank you very much indeed to you. That was Hilary joining us live on the line. You can do exactly the same thing. 0487155500. Tweets coming in as well. Thank you to you all for those. This one from one of our listeners. The sweetest word anyone can hear is your own name. So I always use everyone's name when I can. Is it a service thing? Has it come down to service and the standards of service that we expect, expect specifically from the hotel and the hospitality industry? Well, there's only one man to ask, really, isn't it? Mr. Basil Fawlty.
Good morning, madam. Can I help you?
Are you the manager?
I am the owner, madam.
What?
I am the owner.
I want to speak to the manager.
I am the manager, too.
What?
I am the manager as well.
You're what?
I'm the manager.
What?
I'm the manager.
Yes, I know. You've just told me. What's the matter with you? Now, listen to me. I booked a room with a bath. When I book a room with a bath, I expect to get a bath.
You've got a bath.
I'm not paying £7.20 per night plus VAT for a room without
there
a bath.
Where is your bath?
You call that a bath? It's not big enough to drown a mouse. It's disgraceful.
I wish you were a mouse, I'm sure.
And another thing. I asked for a room with a view.
Deaf, mad, and blind. This is the view as far as I can remember, madam. Yes, yes, this is it.
When I pay for a view, I expect something more interesting than that.
But that is Torquay, madam.
That's not good enough.
Well, may I ask what you were expecting to see out of a Torquay hotel bedroom window? Sydney Opera House, perhaps? The hanging gardens of Babylon? Herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically?
I expect to be able to see the sea.
You can see the sea. It's over there between the land and the sky.
I need a telescope to see that.
Well, may I suggest that you consider moving to a hotel closer to the sea, or preferably in it.
I'm going to continue this conversation about formality over the remainder of the show. We're with you all the way through until midday today. I'm asking whether the days of traditional formality are over, or did you get tired? Did you get bored of being called ma'am or sir or madam time and time again throughout the day? Or can you ever get bored of that? Do send us your thoughts in on that as we discuss the whole place of formalities, spoken and otherwise, here on the show. But I want to sort of take that formality forward. I want to do a question to you all, because it's one that will be prevalent to a number of us out there at the moment. What to wear to work? Now, it's hot. It's hot here at the moment. It's hot in other parts of the world. And the question's come up over in the United Kingdom. They're experiencing a bit of a heat wave. Okay, they've had 3 days of sunshine, but
it's 28 degrees.
Experience a bit of a heat wave. Many office workers out there have found themselves struggling to find appropriate work wear, if you like. UK-based etiquette expert Liz Brewer argued on Good Morning Britain, a news-based TV discussion format, that no matter how high the mercury soars, it is totally unacceptable to don flip-flops or sandals in the office. Her views weren't shared by presenter Ben Shepherd, who sported a pair of sandals with his suit on the show and insisted that workers should be allowed to let their feet breathe in the stifling heat. Let's just listen in to a little excerpt of this discussion as the two discussed whether office dress code should be relaxed during the summer months.
When we have these weather extremes, we seem to go into a sort of downhill panic. It happens exactly the same when there's too much snow. But with the heat, there are countries which have heat all the time, and they manage.
So they're more used to it then.
They're used
to it. Maybe they're more conditioned for it.
They manage to present themselves in an orderly and a correct fashion when they're in the office. Now, it does, of course, depend what kind of work you do. I remember when I was married to an Australian guy, and I remember the first time I was in Australia, it was a bit of a cultural shock seeing these sort of hairy knees with tailored shorts, but they did wear long socks.
Long socks.
Long socks, and I sort of got used to it.
They wear it in banks and all sorts of
yes,
uniforms,
and they,
all sorts of people wear it, don't they?
But that's there. You know what they
do
in Australia.
You don't want it over here, do you?
We are Brits. We are British.
So where do you draw the line then? What is correct attire?
What is correct attire is, first of all, for your own self-esteem. You get up in the morning, you're not going to go to work in your PJs. And with respect to Emma and her delicious little flip-flops, you don't really want everybody looking at your toes.
What? I love my toes.
Excuse me.
I
am wearing, you can see my toes. I've got what? Perfectly presentable shoes. They're aerated. The air's getting in there. So what it is, it's to do with your, as an employee, you need to show respect to the person who's paying
Liz, look, you've got very nice shoes on. They're open-toed. Men can't do that, can they? But men don't get to wear sandals or open-toed shoes. Men don't get to wear shorter skirts or tops that are a bit looser. They can't cut off their
sleeves. There are open-toed shoes, but you don't have to wear flip-flops.
As long as they don't have velcro.
I mean, what we actually need here, we need a beach for her to go and wiggle her little toes in.
We don't need a beach. We need a progressive office environment. You go into Silicon Valley or Google or Apple or Microsoft, they've not seen a shirt in 20 years.
We're not in Silicon Valley. We're at the moment
Central London Google offices. Central London.
So that was the debate that's been raging over in the United Kingdom of late, and obviously one that is very prevalent here in the region as well, with the summer temperatures rising at the moment. What does that do to the challenges that you face on a daily basis with regards to your wardrobe? How do you keep it formal when the heat is rising? Well, let's get the latest from CEO and founding principal of the Institute of Modern Etiquette. Sima Kada joins us live on the line now. Sima, thanks so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Tom, and a good morning to you.
Just listening on, as we were in the studio there, to that discussion that was being had on Good Morning Britain just a few days ago, did that bring a smile to your face? Do you see some of the struggles that people face when it comes to dressing appropriately in the heat?
No, yes. So I would actually have to agree with the British etiquette consultant. It is a big faux pas to be wearing the incorrect attire to an office business environment. Now, wearing flip-flops on a well-tailored business suit just doesn't really, you know, go together. It doesn't match. You will get people staring at you. And part of etiquette, and the essence of etiquette, is that be considerate to society. So you are an ambassador for your company and for yourself. So you've got to wear the correct attire in the business office environment. Flip-flops is more of a beach wear. So you would wear your flip-flops on the beach where nobody's actually going to look at your toes. But if you're going to wear it in the office and you are client-facing, the first place the client will automatically look is your feet. And you're going to have really groomed toenails with a good pedicure to be able to get away with flip-flops. So, you know, the discussion the etiquette consultant was having was completely right. It's the correct, you need to wear the correct attire, regardless of the temperature. Now, we do live in Dubai where the temperature is always, you know, very beautifully hot. Now, if you are walking if a gentleman is walking from the metro into the office, you can wear loafers that match with a summer suit. That's a lot more softer in terms of grip, and your feet are much more, it's breathable, but not flip-flops. It's just not appropriate. And in terms of ladies, they can wear open-toe shoes, but again, not flip-flops, because again, that's just for the beach wear.
So Tom has a tendency of not wearing socks with his shoes. Is that okay?
As long as the trousers are not too high up the ankles. And when you're walking, you know, they're flapping and everybody can see your ankles and realize that you're not wearing socks. Then it's acceptable. But again, it's being polite to society. It's being respectful to society. So if society can see it, then don't do it.
Interesting, Sima, because do you think, I mean, obviously there's a number of companies have tried to bring in dress down Thursdays and they've tried to give a little bit more of casual element to certainly at least one day of workwear. Plus, we've also seen with the growth of the tech industry, more and more relaxed attitude to what you wear to work. Has that had a negative impact, do you think, on what people sort of understand is appropriate and inappropriate to wear to work?
But generally, you know, like dress down Thursdays,
yeah.
Your clients are not coming in on Thursday. So it is dependent on the business. A lot of businesses have their own guidelines and protocols, and we need to adhere to them. Now, my golden tip and rule is you dress according to the promotion you want. So if you want to become senior management or chair, dress according to what they are wearing. So they become your influencers, and they and you aspire to be them. So dress according to them. Now, if they are dressing down, but it's going to be casual, it's still going to be business casual, it's not going to be shorts and a T-shirt. And if you are wearing shorts, it's mostly your digital marketing companies or your IT companies that have gone down that route. But then, you know, the founder is wearing shorts and a T-shirt. So it's considered acceptable. But if you are working, you know, somewhere like the DIFC or where it's a business attire, then you should dress accordingly. And it does have a negative effect. Yes, it can have a negative effect on your career, on your impression, your self-image, and can be, you know, considered embarrassing for the company as well.
One of my biggest concerns, genuinely, is skirt length, because I get, I think it's different in this region to it to in the West. So where do you think a woman's skirt should sit, the hem should sit?
So as we do live in Dubai, we do need to respect the local culture and the customs. Now, the hem of the skirt of a lady should be knee length, okay. A Western lady. Now, there's no pressure that you have to wear an abaya, but the knee length is appropriate, or then a maxi skirt. But above the knee, then you are crossing a fine line, and you can have security or police or even the locals or any Westerner can also stop you and say, look, you're not dressed appropriately. Shorts, especially the, you know, the hot pants or the baby nappy type trend shorts, is just not acceptable unless you're going to the beach where the entire society and the environment is the same. So you dress according to the environment you're going to or the environment you're in. So a knee-length skirt is acceptable. And at the same time, I'm always saying, you know, have like a light muslin or a light cotton shawl, which you can wrap around like a sarong, especially if you're going to a government office where your skirt needs to be ankle length.
Summer, it's always lovely chatting with you. Thank you so much indeed for your time this morning and your great advice as well. That was the CEO and founding principal of the Institute of Modern Etiquette. Do find out more from Saima and all the team down there at the Institute of Modern Etiquette. Our thanks to Saima Kadar for joining us live on the line. Well, we've been discussing formalities over the last couple of hours. We spoke to Executive Assistant Manager at Radisson Blu Dubai Waterfront, new one down on Business Bay. Adil de Groot joined us a little earlier on in proceedings, saying that staff and guests there have welcomed a new campaign to drop the sirs and ma'ams and replace them with a more personalised approach. It's a novel thing. It's using your own name.
It's taking a bit of time. I think a lot of the employees who've been in Dubai for quite some time are used to using sir and madam. I think also you noticed when the younger generation are taking it more easily, but the older staff will take some time to get used to it, I think. And especially you see that, like, leisure guests who've been who stay with us for a few days, they actually really, like, build a connection with the team members. And a big thing we've noticed as well is that, like, for example, when guests leave comments on TripAdvisor, instead of saying, the Sri Lankan guy who helped me at the pool, they're actually using the staff's name as well.
We also got the thoughts of Sirakshi Raina. Sirakshi is the online editor at Hotelier Middle East. Says that this is an interesting new campaign, but it's also indicative of a sort of move in the hospitality and specifically in the hotel industry where phrases like sir or ma'am are deemed to be old-fashioned and are rapidly becoming redundant.
The tone of travel today is a lot more informal than it was a few years ago. With business travelers, of course, you find that they do tend to rely on that formality aspect of addressing people. But I think when it comes to the young people who are traveling today, the millennials, I think, you know, it doesn't really matter to them what you refer to them as long as you are engaging with them and giving them the experience that they seek.
Thanks very much indeed to Anil, who's also been in touch with us today, saying people claim it is about respect and politeness, but when you observe how they are actually used, the phrases ma'am and sir, it's far more often about power and status. Most people are unintentionally dishonest about how they actually use sir or ma'am. They cite and they really believe the respect narrative, but when observing them in practice, it becomes clear to me that they use them to verbally genuflect to a power structure. Thank you very much indeed for that one, Anil.
Craig in Jamira says, I found on my travels to America that everyone called me sir, and being an Englishman not accustomed to this, I found it both unusual and humorous. I let it go as it's part of the custom to show respect for someone you don't know. But when I came back, I secretly wished more people, especially in the service industry, used it when speaking with a stranger or customer.
Thanks also to all those that have got in touch with us with regards to our other talker today, which was, it was all to do with formalities of what you wear within the workplace as well. Got a great response from that one from a number of people. And I think it's fair to say that judging by some of those responses that came through a little earlier on, flip-flops are a no-no.
For men, certainly. No one wants to see your toes.
Huge thanks to all of you for your thoughts on that one. And no more so than all the team down at the Institute of Modern Etiquette. We had Sy McCudder join us live on the line a little earlier on. She's the CEO and founding principal of the Institute of Modern Etiquette and was in no doubt whatsoever that toes, certainly for men's toes, that is, needed to remain covered.
You are an ambassador for your company and for yourself, so you've got to wear the correct attire in the business office environment. Flip-flops is more of a beach wear.
Mm.
So you would wear your flip-flops on the beach where nobody's actually going to look at your toes. But if you're going to wear it in the office and you are client-facing, the first place the client will automatically look is your feet. And you're going to have really groomed toenails with a good pedicure to be able to get away with flip-flops.
I'm off for my pedicure now, and then I'll be back in tomorrow to show them off to all and sundry. Thanks so much indeed to you, George Tolley.
A pleasure.
Nice to be back in the hot seat. This is The Agenda. We're back tomorrow. Make sure you do tune in between 10 and 12. Big thanks to all the production team back of house down here at Dubai Media City. Big thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in as well. As I said, keep it locked on Dubai I-103.8 throughout the summer months, and plenty of big news and lots to look forward to. Between now and, of course, the end of the summer. So do keep it here, and we'll be back tomorrow from 10 o'clock.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.